Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Welcome to the show. My guest has arrived. Again, this is the first time I've had live, living people in the studio for roughly 18 months, and it's my pleasure to have Kathy Gemperle in here. She is the co-author with John Holden, who we may talk to later in this hour, of a book that will warm the hearts of many Chicagoans. It's no longer here, the Edgewater Beach Hotel. That's why the title of the book is Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel. Kathy, welcome to the show. I'm glad you made it, and I'm sorry if it was confusing.
No, just fine.
It's a nice studio, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
Your husband, Dave, who's the chauffeur, is staring at the great views here. Now, you were, Kathy, the founding president of the Edgewater Beach Historical Society. Is that what it's called?
It's called the Edgewater Historical Society. The community got its name from a developer who named it Edgewater in 1886. And the hotel took its name from the development, Edgewater.
The hotel was, for those of you who might remember it, the hotel was something, to my mind, of a phenomenon. I had known about it forever because my parents, here's a story, Kathy, my parents, who had a loving but very tempestuous relationship, would, when they would talk to me about their courting years, during which they would walk from a restaurant or a tavern downtown home to my mother's apartment in Rogers Park, They would talk about music pouring forth from the Edgewater Beach. And it's a story I've known since childhood. Mm-hmm. And later, my mother somehow arranged for us to have a cabana at the pool there before the pool and hotel closed. You're not from Edgewater. You didn't grow up there. You didn't know the hotel as a kid, did you?
No, I saw it once when I was 9 years old, and my aunt and uncle, who lived in Chicago, brought me to the beach there. But I was more thrilled with the beach. I didn't look at the hotel
at all.
You're
9 years old. What hotel? Nine years old. When did you move to Edgewater?
Let's see. We moved to Edgewater in 1975.
And you obviously...
And bought a house.
And you obviously are a historian by passion. Is that a correct way to put it?
Sure.
And did you fall in love with the neighborhood immediately?
We visited the neighborhood because I worked at a West Side high school with someone who lived in that neighborhood. And she invited us over for dinner in her backyard, and I was just stunned.
Charmed and stunned?
That there was a place like this in the city.
Yeah.
Because I had only seen mostly apartment buildings.
Well, and you grew up somewhat in the suburbs, too, correct?
Right, right.
So how did you dive into, how did you express your passion about history once you got to Edgewater?
Well, we moved to a neighborhood that's now a historic district, and I talked with so many people who wanted me to tell me about their house.
Really?
That I thought, gee, maybe I could do a walking tour. So I did a walking tour of the Lakewood Balmoral neighborhood, and then I got a few people together, and we created a home tour, which was inside visits to 10 homes. And then I participated with the Edgewater Community Council in a celebration of 100 years of Edgewater. Huh. And it was 1986, but we were a little late. So I think it was in 1987. We put together an exhibit. I worked on a video. And we had an oral history project that was funded by the Department of Cultural Affairs.
Sure. Good old Lois Weisberg. The Historical Society was formed a year later in 88, right?
Right.
And you were the founding president.
Right. I called a meeting at the Edgewater Library for people who might be interested in forming a historical society. About 50 people showed up.
That's pretty big. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, we voted yes.
Why do you think, Kathy, I know it's an academic question, but why do you, and I believe it is, but why do you believe it's important for people to know the history of a place?
I think it gives people in a big city like Chicago a special sense of place. And my motivation in forming a historical society was really just to gather people who are like-minded, who, you know, like kept coming up to me and telling me about the details on their house, that, you know, they're interested in this, so why not do something together?
So the response was enthusiastic from the outset.
Right.
When did you get that incredible space you have? I love that building. You know, it's not the world's biggest historical society, but I love that building at 5358 50, yeah. North Ashland Avenue. Was it a firehouse?
It was a firehouse, and we purchased it from the city in about 1996 after we got Alderman O'Connor's support, because it's in his ward.
Is that, where was it from 1988?
It was
in your basement,
a city,
in your living room.
Where? Oh, you mean the historical society? All the board members had stuff in their basements.
Is that right? Is that right?
Way too much stuff.
But you would have regular meetings, I suppose.
Yes, we met at the library and we ran programs at the library.
Okay, but you wanted and felt the need for
a small space.
It works, though,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
In that space, currently, among many things in that space, is a remembering the Edgewater Beach Hotel. A lot of artifacts from the building, a lot of photographs. You know, there aren't enough photographs of maybe there shouldn't be, of the demolition of that building, which I remember really well.
A lot of people remember that. With my intention, I decided not to post a lot
of... Good for you.
Sad pictures of the demolition.
Well, because as we're going to talk for the rest of this hour, it was a joyful place. When you look at the pictures of the Edgewater Beach Hotel, which went up in about 1916, something like that,
yeah.
It was unlike anything I have ever seen in Chicago. The closest I can make some kind of comparison are Las Vegas hotels in the glory days of Las Vegas. I'm spending this entire hour with Kathy Gemperle. She is a visual artist, but she is a passionate historian, and she's the co-author of Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel. I'll tell you about this kind of party you're going to have in a little while, this thing.
Right. Oh, the book signing?
Yeah, it's a book signing on August 8th at the Historical Society Museum. I'll give you all the information about that. And now we're going to take you back and tell you some astonishing stories. And you'll say, wait a minute, there was really a hotel with tennis courts and a golf course and a big band dancing thing? Stay tuned. Welcome back. I am sitting here talking to Kathy Gemperle and her husband Dave about all sorts of things, about history and about the book, Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel. Kathy has been a visual artist and teacher in this town for many, many years, but didn't have much of a history with the Edgewater Beach except being on the beach and seeing the hotel, and she was 9 and wanted to swim. So who cares? What was your real introduction to you were the founding president of the Edgewater Beach Historical Society, the Edgewater Historical Society. When did you first get introduced then to the hotel?
Well, I think as we gathered to meet about forming an organization, we thought about things that we could do since we didn't have a building.
Right. You had been doing walks of homes. And
so we did some walking tours, and then we decided to publish a newsletter. And then a little bit later, we decided to try to have a website. But all the people who joined the board had kind of a collective memory of things in Edgewater. So people would say, oh, what about the Edgewater Beach Hotel? We should have something about that.
Were most of the people you were dealing with, were they old hands in Edgewater? They were not recent residents of the neighborhood, but many of them had been there for
general... I think it was probably 50-50.
Oh, okay.
There were old hands.
And new folks.
And then there were new folks. That's because of the 100-year celebration of Edgewater. People got curious.
Gotcha. And Edgewater's filled with fine homes, too. I mean, Edgewater's a great place, I think, to live. I mean, it's had, like any neighborhood in Chicago, ups and downs, but it's right. Got some really great housing stock there. So, was there a moment when you said to yourself, when maybe someone gave you an artifact or something, where you said, oh, my God, this Edgewater Beach Hotel looks amazing?
I think I'd seen postcards.
Yeah.
And that's what most people see first,
exactly.
Are the postcards.
Exactly.
And they go, wow, that was on the lakefront?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. The interesting thing about the hotel, and in your book, Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel, is there was nothing else, absolutely nothing else like this in Chicago at the time. It was hotel as resort, was it not?
Right. It was really the vision of Benjamin Marshall and his partner, Charles Fox. But it's kind of serendipity that they got connected with John Corbett and John Connery.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of dabbling in real estate, and Connery lived across the street from the site of the hotel. And when they got connected, they put their heads together and decided to go for this plan that Marshall just envisioned. He envisioned a resort. You know, this was not a downtown hotel. Well, he had done other hotels.
Oh, but, yeah, he did the Drake, yeah. Among other hotels and other buildings. The amazing thing about it is they said, well, okay, look, here's this nice lakefront. They didn't exactly get deeded the lakefront. They didn't really, because the lakefront, open, free, and clear, didn't exactly own it, but they did indeed, when they built the hotel, kind of fence in they basically made a private beach in Chicago.
Yes, and part of the problem with that property, Cochrane, who had named Edgewater, didn't try to purchase it because the shoreline was so irregular and so shifting
exactly.
That the road, which was Sheffield, couldn't go through. It kind of was a little narrow road, and a few people built homes there, but it wasn't like the hot spot.
Yeah.
And it needed a lot of shoreline protection. So when they negotiated with the Lincoln Park commissioners, they actually purchased submerged land.
Uh-huh.
So it was underwater, and then they went to build their 1,000-foot embankment or
one of the things was,
walkway.
As I know it, as I know the history, there wasn't much of a beach there,
right.
Was there? It was basically a tiny strip of sand.
Right, the early photographs,
yeah.
You see those in the book.
Yeah.
They show people all ready to be at the beach, but the beach is like 10 feet wide. And they're all swimming, you know, they just run out and jump in. And then they had a diving platform. Because the lake was up to the seawall, so yeah. You know, they could put a pier in there and
it is
do one diving.
Of the, one of the other things you point out, and you can go when you go to the Historical Society's website, you'll see a lovely, and it's edgewaterhistory.org. You see a lovely video starring Marjorie here or Kathy, and you will see. Many of the pictures you see in the book, are all of the pictures in the book from you and the History Society, or did you have to get them elsewhere?
We went on a search because we had two beautiful collections of pictures. We had a photo album that someone brought us that was selling the hotel. So it had the chefs posing
oh
with
my
their
God.
Cakes, and it had the beautiful empty room so that you could get the size of how big your wedding would be. This will hold 1,500 people or whatever. And then we got another album. It was mailed to us from somewhere in Mississippi, I think.
Huh.
It was the construction photos of the second building, and they were water damaged.
Right,
but
right.
Still significant enough that we could see step by step the second building going up. And the second building held 600 rooms. The first building had 400. So it was a 1,000-room hotel by the time they completed that in 1924.
And in its time, it attracted the big stars of the mm-hmm. time. I mean, the big movie stars and the big baseball. Babe Ruth legendarily stayed there.
Mm-hmm. He did.
It was a hall, though, from you know, most, the reason there were most train stations were downtown, and Midway Airport was where Midway Airport was. It's because most of the business and most of the things that happened here happened downtown. What do you think? You may know, but what do you think was the appeal of this place? Because it was a resort? Because of its size?
Well, it's kind of hard to say why it took off so beautifully. But, you know, with World War One, things were kind of slowed down. And then I think there were a lot of contributing factors. But it was, I don't know, escape?
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like the high life.
Well, it was certainly an escape.
And it wasn't that expensive, you know, so you could go there
what was,
and
for
dance.
Instance, what would it cost to get a nice room at the Edgewater Beach Hotel?
We
in the
we found a bill for a honeymoon that was like, in today's money, would be $2,000.
It doesn't sound that bad.
No. Yeah. In the money at that time, it was like $200 or something. You know.
As you were going through all of this, all of these materials, and you're right about there having been dozens of postcards. This was a great way for this place to advertise itself. You also mentioned one of the key participants in all this was the hotel manager. What was his name again?
William Dewey.
Yes.
After going through all these materials, we just attributed the success of the hotel to Mr. Dewey.
Yeah.
He had just such a fine sense of management. He met the two young men who started Zenith Radio.
Right.
He gave them permission to use the hotel land to set up their radio station. And then he invited them in and built them a studio
in
the hotel. So there was, you know, he just had a sense of what was going to work.
He's innovative, like the Elon Musk of the hotel, of the hotel
yeah,
business
he
at
just,
the time.
He just had a sense of it.
You must have, Kathy, at some point during your research and you're gathering all these materials, say to yourself, and maybe you didn't, but I'm thinking I would have said, God, I wish I could have stayed here.
Yeah.
And danced here and eaten here.
Right.
Because they had lavish kitchens and a big ballroom and a dance thing. And as I said, my parents used to my father wooed my mother by walking by. There wasn't really a boardwalk. It was just like a beach that you could walk by and hear the music pouring from the big bands that used to play at the Edgewater Beach. This is a fascinating thing. The book will be available for sure, ladies and gentlemen, on August 8th from 4 to 7 at the Edgewater Historical Society Museum, which is at 5358 North Ashland. It's a charming building. It also has a great, great exhibition if you're of a mind about the 1968 Democratic Convention, which I've written about. We'll be back with Kathy Gemperle after the news. Welcome back. I'm going to spend the next half hour with my guest, Kathy Gemperle, who is a visual artist of great note. She has her own website. Go to kathygemperle.com, and you'll see her beautiful paintings and the clay sculpture. I'm very taken with the clay sculpture because it's some sort of architecture-based. They are homes and houses. And you remind me, in that sense, of another great visual artist no longer with us, a guy named Jack Simmerling, who must have painted every single house in the Beverly neighborhood on the South Side.
Oh, wonderful.
And was like much like you. He didn't start a historical society, but he was just in love with history and the meaning and import of buildings. Kathy is the co-author with John Holden of Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel. There's a book signing on August 8th at the Edgewater Historical Society Museum at 5358 North Ashland Avenue from 4 to 7. You can meet Kathy and her co-author, John Holden. How did the book come to be? What is the seed of this book? It's published by Arcadia Press that publishes 8,835 and counting books
about
America and history.
It came about after we had produced the celebration, the 100-year celebration of the opening of the hotel. So it was 2016, June. We opened the exhibit. I think we were one day off from the actual opening. And we had worked, a team of us had worked on developing this exhibit, and it filled the museum. And I had some of the postcards enlarged so you could have your picture taken in front of it and act like you were there.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun with that. And then John got involved on the board, and he was like, oh, we have to do a book about this.
John Holden.
Yeah. And I said, what? It sounded like work to me. And he said, yeah, look, we've got all these pictures. And it was true. You know, we had over 100 pictures in the exhibit. So we added to it, but we also subtracted some. So,
sure.
But so he was just driven to start this up, and he wrote Arcadia and said, you know, and he got an answer in one day. And so then it was like, uh-oh, the die is cast. We better get busy. So we went through asking the board if we could use all the Historical Society's
materials,
and they were fine with that. And then we started hunting for other things. So I contacted Kathy Stanton, whose mother and father worked at the hotel.
Oh, wow.
And so we got pictures from Marlis. She and her husband were married at the hotel, and they worked there till it closed in 67. And then I found on the website a dancing girl named Barbara Ferruda.
And, great name, first of all. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and she took the name Barbara Boucher when she came to Chicago to be a dancer with the Dorothy Hill Dancers. So there's a website you can read all about her. But I contacted the daughter who put the website together because I was so impressed.
Wow.
And she gave us permission to use, you know, some pictures of the Dorothy Hill Dancers.
Was it fun going on that kind of detective hunt?
Yes. Well, that's what I love about history, the detective part of asking questions and researching. I had a friend who worked on the schedule for the theater, the outdoor theater that was developed in the 50s. And she gave me the month-by-month who performed, and that was just stunning.
Wow.
So we tried then searching for pictures of all those people. Tony Randall, Mae West. We had Playbill that had some of them on.
But it was, I mean, in a sense then, it became like what, you know, what Melody Top became years later on these suburban outlets of dinner theater kind of shows.
Yeah, they had a flaw, though, and that was it was by the lake and the wind would come up.
Right.
The 10th theater was not a good concept.
The other thing that happened there, and I think this is one of the reasons there is no longer an Edgewater Beach Hotel, is that the lake began to kind of recede and go back, and the space between the hotel, it was not exactly on the edge of the water.
Right,
it was just now this huge, like, you know.
They had to build a walkway.
Like Cap Streeter's place. You know, just a landfill came in, and it gave someone in the Daily era the lovely notion that, well, we should just extend the outer drive.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically began the death knell of the Edgewater Beach, did it not?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was the most significant. They could have still operated a lovely hotel there.
Right.
They did put a passageway out to the lake, but still it lost its
cachet.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some financial troubles along the way, too. Its pool stayed open, I know, because I would go to the pool.
Because you went there,
My mother somehow scammed us a cabana membership or something. And
I think they were only a year or two long.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
It was all over.
It is, and then they came down, and all that kind of remains is the one. There's a building there, right? What is that building? The apartment building, Edgewater Beach Apartments.
Oh, it's the Edgewater Beach Apartments. That was Marshall's design as well.
Right.
And it was still built in the Maltese Cross design, and it was very similar to a hotel. It had the shops, it had swimming pool. It had a lot of the amenities that a hotel was. But he really had a bigger vision than that, and we found it in the newspaper, in the Tribune, of course. And it was to have a movie theater complex and all kinds of other things, but that didn't get built.
Yeah, Marshall was something. So there's sort of something. There is a hint of what was there, but to really fully understand what the Edgewater Beach Hotel was, and I think it's one of the most unusual buildings in the history of this city of unusual, notable buildings, is to get a copy of Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel, or go visit the exhibit at the Edgewater Historical Museum at Society Museum at 5358 North Ashland Avenue. Kathy will be signing books with John Holden from 4 to 7 on August 8th, but the museum is open not every all the time.
It's you're open there on the weekends.
You're there a lot. It's open on the weekends, and Kathy, you're usually there?
In and out.
Dave is saying, come on, come home, let's go somewhere. let's go out for dinner. Saying, we're going to take a short break now, and I'm going to try to get John Holden on the phone because I want him. I've known John for 40 years, and I want him to tell me what a joy it was to work with Kathy.
No pressure.
Welcome back. I have a few minutes left with my live studio guests. This is the first Sunday we've had live living guests in the studio, not on the telephone. Kathy Gemperle is the co-author of Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel, and as she's just been telling us, she was sort of, if not browbeaten into writing this book, at least her arm was twisted by a very, very old friend of mine and also a passionate historian, John Holden. I think John's on the phone now. John, are you there?
I am indeed.
Well. Nice to talk to you. John and I go way back. I've probably known you for 40 years, don't you think?
Maybe 35.
That's really disgusting to me. It just shows me how old I am. I have not fully seen the book, but I certainly know you, and I now know Kathy, and I do and have known for some time the history of the Edgewater Beach Hotel. Let me ask you both. Why are you two the first to do this book? You would have, John, I would have thought that this book had been done long before. What do you think?
That was the most shocking thing to me, and it was also shocking to the folks at Arcadia Press who are publishing the book. We had a great exhibit. It's been at the museum for a while, and I thought it would be a shame to just pack it up in boxes and not let the world see it. So what better way to get it out there to a broader audience than get it into a book? I was advised that it might take a long time to get Arcadia Press to approve it. But much to my astonishment, as Kathy mentioned earlier, they latched onto the idea and they said, oh my God, we can't believe no one's done a book in the Edgewater Beach Hotel before.
All right, I've got to ask the two of you, John Holden and Kathy Gemperle, why do you think that is? I think, to my mind, it's a natural. I want a theory. I want two theories from the two of you. What's your theory, John, about why no one has ever done this?
I can't imagine, but I think you had to have access to all the materials we had at the museum to put a book together like this.
Good point.
And it's taken a long time and a lot of people involved with the museum, especially a man named Leroy Blummert, who gathered a lot of this material over the years by scouting the internet and flea markets and what have you. And we have a wealth of material at the museum, and a lot of it fell into place very naturally.
That seems like you could certainly write
a narrative book without any photos, and it would be fascinating.
Yeah.
There are so many fascinating things about the place that we had in the exhibit, but then additional things that we learned along the way. It's just mind-boggling. For instance, WGN Radio, for the first 3 months of its existence, came out of the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
What was it like to collaborate? I mean, I know you collaborated, sort of emotionally and physically. How did you separate that? How was the writing done, Kathy?
I did the facts, and then John elaborated.
And embellished? Embellished or
John,
elaborate?
John, would you say you embellished?
I don't think I took too many liberties with the truth.
I think this book is likely to be a very big hit. I know that, you know, there aren't a lot of people around who you know, who say, oh, my God, honey, let's buy this book. We spent our honeymoon there. You know, it's just they've aged out. But I still think it is one of the most remarkable. It's like Riverview. To my mind. Do you know what I mean? In the way that
absolutely. And ironically, yeah. Or coincidentally, they both closed in the same year.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would say the Edgewater Beach Hotel was Riverview for the high society set.
Interesting. Interesting. Talked a little about it. Ben Marshall is also, you know, he's an esteemed architect, but he also seems, to my mind, to be a little nuts. How's that for an assessment, John Holden?
He was extraordinarily ambitious, and he took all his chips and put them into this project. He owned a lot of real estate, including that wonderful old apartment building that still stands at North Avenue and State Parkway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He sold off everything to make sure that the Edgewater Beach complex was everything he wanted it to be. He had built the Blackstone Hotel, and yeah. Kind of envisioned the Edgewater Beach to be a resort version of the Blackstone.
And he must have also been, you two, Kathy and John, an incredible kind of salesman, because I'm thinking of the time in which the Edgewater Beach Hotel went up. I mean, it must have been like, you know, Bugsy Siegel was with Vegas, that to convince people that, well, okay, it's not really near any train stations, it's not really near any airports, but it can still be a huge success. That the unusual nature of this place is something that really grabs me too, doesn't it, Kathy?
Right. His vision, as I said before, was carried out by William Dewey. Mm-hmm. And Marshall really didn't have much to do with running the business at all. He was on to the next project, which was the Edgewater Beach Apartments.
Yeah. John, do you live in Edgewater now?
I do. That's how I got dragooned into being on the board of the museum.
Who dragooned you? Kathy, I bet Kathy can be a pretty persuasive person when she puts her mind to it.
I was neighboring Uptown for years, and I was the president of the Uptown Historical
Society. That's right.
Kind of a very minor organization compared to Edgewater, which we have about a dozen neighborhood historical societies in Chicago, and I'm happy to say that I think Edgewater is the gold standard. We have a museum, we have a newsletter, a website, just a lot of things going on, and it's really great to be a part of that.
Do you think there might be another book in the two of you, another collaborative effort with the two of you? You certainly both seem to have enjoyed this one.
This is how we spent a good chunk of our COVID lockdown. Kathy and I were in a very cold office at the museum through last winter, and we didn't kill each other, so for that I'm grateful.
Well, that's something. John, do you wish, you must have, because I did too, must have wished, oh my God, I wish I'd been at this hotel during its glory days.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I could time travel, I would first probably go to the Columbian Exposition, but then right after that, I would want to be at the boardwalk, at the beach walk of the Edgewater Beach Hotel with Xavier Cugat leading an orchestra and 1,000 people out on the dance floor right on the shore of Lake Michigan, just having the time of their life.
Some of the photos that I've seen are just, you cannot even imagine that there's room to move on the dance floor. There's so many people packed.
I don't think they dance very wild, though.
What? It's the 20s. Come on, what do you mean?
Jitterbugging.
Charleston, all that stuff. Are you looking forward to this book signing, John? You must be, because I think for a lot of people, there have to be a few people around for whom this will evoke real personal memories and stories. There'll be older people who do that, but I think also for young people. And I've seen this happen with, you know, stories and things about the Ambassador East and the Pump Room and places like that, and Riverview, certainly, where stories have rippled
like through. Like family heirlooms, really.
Yeah.
Right.
And when I put a little word out a few weeks ago about the book coming out, I was astounded how many people I've known for years who I haven't talked to in decades, but they said, weighed in and said, oh my God, my parents had their honeymoon there. I had my bar mitzvah there. One of my friends in high school who I haven't talked to in 40 years said, my grandfather worked there for 53 years.
Oh my God.
Well, the Edgewater neighborhood
touched a lot of people.
Yeah.
The Edgewater neighborhood had a nostalgia for the hotel that continued for years. So when the Edgewater Community Council was going to do a fundraising event, the first one they did was Midnight in the Marine Room. And, you know, 300 people came.
Wow.
Because people just love to hear about the Edgewater Beach Hotel and the music, the big band style, and
sure,
so on. So that nostalgia was in the community for years.
Well, I'm sure you two are going to resurrect it. I mean, you have unearthed. Well, what will happen is people who do remember it, even I'm not that old, I remember it. I have that great story of my parents sort of, you know, courting each other, listening to music pouring out. Must have been awfully romantic. I mean, that's probably why my mother fell for my dad. It must have been awfully romantic to look out over the lake and hear music and
both WGN Radio and Rick Hogan were their origins for that hotel.
John, it is always fun to talk to you, and keep at it. Have fun at this book signing. Remembering Edgewater Beach Hotel. I'm sure Arcadia is giving you, you know, huge percentage of the royalties on this thing. As I know Arcadia, it is on August 8th. It's also a great, great, great excuse not just to get the book, but to see the museum. It's a charming, as I told Kathy 20 times during this interview, it's a charming museum. It also has a great exhibit about the 1968 Democratic Convention, of which I also have personal memories. It gives you a chance to see the museum. It's at 5358 North Ashland Avenue. The book signing is from 4 to 7, and I'm sure people can wander. It's not that, not wander. They can look around the museum while they're there. John, it's always good to talk to you. I'm glad you sound good. Sound good.
Likewise. Thanks, Rick.
Take care. Kathy, congratulations on all this. I think it's a really cool thing. Did you drive Dave nuts doing this book?
No, I think I just disappeared a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
It had to be a lot.
I spent a lot of hours at a computer going through the photographs.
Well, and you also, I mean, there's a lot of fact-checking involved in something like this, too. You can't always trust the photograph or whatever's written on the back of a photograph for this. But you're happy with the book. You haven't seen it yet. That's one thing. You haven't seen it.
Well, you know, we've seen a PDF file.
Okay.
For our review. And, you know, John tweaked a few more words here and there and so on.
John's a tweaker. That's one of the things he does. It's a pleasure meeting you. I'm sorry it was so difficult to find this place.
Oh, it was no problem.
But, you know, the thing is, Dave, for her next book, you'll know exactly how to get her. I hope I can get up for the signing. I think it sounds like great fun. I'm sure it's going to be jammed.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, but we do have the street closed next to the museum. So
oh, that's
there's
great.
A place for overflow crowd.
Yeah,
we are going to be making presentations to some other groups, but I don't have that list.
Okay, when you get it, send it to me, and I'll announce it on this very radio show. Well, thanks for being among
thank you for having
the live guests that we've had in studio for the first time in a long time.